Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of contemporary praise and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. God is love. Sing along with us on this praise song, Oh, How He Loves You and Me. Today's message is entitled, One in the Spirit. Here is Methodist Hour speaker, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you so much, Whit. The gospel lesson is John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. On the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, Jesus cried out, Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, Out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. Now he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive. For as yet, you see, there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not glorified yet. Amen. You know, even now, as I think of this story, it gives me goosebumps. I remember as our cranky old van left the airport at Karagandha, I was puzzled by the rags dangling from the foggy windows. The day was bright, but the air was so cold, and this is my first trip to what used to be called Siberia before the breakdown of the USSR. But I discovered that the rags were there to keep the cold out. It was a kind of insulation hanging over the windows. Now, I was sort of acting like a tourist, and I pulled back the ragged drapes just to gaze out at the countryside. And just a few miles from the airport, I began to see little hut-like dwellings dotted all across the fields on both sides of the road. Soon, the little houses were closer together, and they looked like hundreds and hundreds of little dollhouses. My guess is that they were no more than, when you got up close to them, about 8 feet square. Each had some kind of fence around it and looked like a special plot of ground assigned to each tiny little house. I was just fascinated. Finally, I had to ask our translator to teach me what in the world I was looking at. He said, You Americans would call them farms. Farms? I thought, how could they be farms? Well, he said, in the city, the people live in high-rise apartments. They do not have yards, and there's very little grass anywhere. But in the springtime, they come out here to use a piece of ground just to plant a garden and some flowers. Everyone builds a little house just large enough to sleep on the floor and hold a few supplies. Well, this lesson in the scripture today reminded me of those little houses because it's written against the backdrop of the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, remember the first line of the text, On the last day of the festival, Jesus said, or John said, the great day while Jesus was standing there, Jesus cried out. Well, this was the Festival of Tabernacles. You see, the Hebrew people had and still have very many great days of celebration or festivals. One of those festivals is Passover, another is Pentecost, and this one happens to be the Festival of Tabernacles. On this day, every male within 20 miles of Jerusalem was required to attend and to participate in the activity. Each male had to build a small hut and cover the roof with some kind of thatch so that he could see through it at night while he was lying down. When he looked up at the stars, it was to remind him of the day in history, the history of the Hebrew people when they had no homes, when they were wandering in Egypt. This would remind them to be thankful to God for what they had. It's not a bad idea for any of us to remember that. Well, another part of the ceremony of the Festival of Tabernacles was held on the last day. On this day, the priest would put water in about 2 pints of water in a big golden urn, and then in a great ceremony, he would pour the water on the ground while the people quoted scriptures from Isaiah and the Psalms. The pouring was to give thanks for the abundant harvest caused by good rains. Now, most scholars believe that it was against this background on that last day when the priest was pouring the water on the ground that Jesus stood up, and by the way, remember, whenever a teacher stood up, it meant, hey, everybody, be quiet, listen, because he was about to say something very important. John said that Jesus cried out. Now, this is the same expression used by John the Baptist, one crying in the wilderness. The point is that the speaker here is making a huge, important, solemn proclamation, and everybody should listen. Now, there is one other thing you need to know to be able to really understand the point of this lesson. The Hebrew people believed that feelings, thoughts, and emotions were centered in a very assigned part of the body somewhere. For example, the heart was the center of intellect and thought. Remember the psalmist said, "Create in me," this is Psalm 51, "create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew within me a right spirit." Another way to say that is, "O God, help me to get my thinking straight and give me a better understanding of who you are and what I'm doing." Now, you see, the deepest human emotions and feelings were thought to be centered in the kidneys and the belly. Well, there's a lot to be said about that. But now just picture this. The high priest, robes flowing in the breeze, pouring the sacramental water on the ground while scriptures are being quoted in front of thousands of people, and everyone there is quoting the Psalms. And then across the path, Jesus stands up and cries out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink." As the scripture has said, he said, "Out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Other translations use the word belly to incorporate not only thinking, but also feelings and emotions. Now, friends, I think there must have been a silence that came over that crowd. About the only thing you could hear was the last few drops of water sort of sliding out of that golden urn and hitting the soggy ground. This, of course, was the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. But it was Jesus saying that day, right in the middle of that great Hebrew festival, that if persons would come and listen and believe his words, they would receive new understanding for life itself. It would be so abundant, so full, so rich, that it would flow out of them like living water. It would change their thinking and their emotions. You see, in the same way that water that they prayed for and they praised God for came and brought forth great crops, this living water would give them fresh new life. This new water would nourish and sustain them in all the seasons of their lives. Now, he was not introducing them to a new set of rules to live by. His water was actually alive. This living water would be the lifeline of the whole church throughout all history. Now, do not forget that the Hebrew people were driven by strict adherence to the law. Their idea of faith was to make sure they kept the set of rules set down by the law. The problem was with the law that it was a burden and the pressure to those who had to live by it. There was no life in the law, only fear of failure and punishment. There was no life in the law, it was only fear of failure and punishment. Well, I remember the clanky old van managed to stay together. 2 weeks later, it was taking us back to the airport there in Karagandy. I pulled the ragged drape back for my last look at those little houses, and how impressed I thought this time. Wow. I knew that somewhere out there in that maze of miniature houses was a little boy and his mama named, the boy's name Elisha. They were spending a night together getting ready for the spring planting. Elisha was 11 years old then, and I still carry a letter from him in my Bible. His mother told me that she had 3 jobs to make enough money for their family. Elisha's mother, Abena, also told me stories of her parents who were arrested in the middle of the night. They lived in Moscow when she was a little girl, and her father was a respected shopkeeper. The police came and said that he was committing crimes against the government. It was a simple man who ran a bakery. The only malice in his nature was kneading the dough to make the bread. Hardly a man trying to overthrow the government. Within only a few minutes, they were hustled out of the house and were herded on the freight car and taken to Siberia. Thousands of people were taken just like that. And the old freight train screeched through the night, and bitter cold air ran across those people, and hundreds of moms and dads froze to death in those open cattle cars. Dead bodies were just thrown off the cars like garbage. When they arrived at the work camps in Siberia, they were virtually dumped off the cars and put right to work. "I have been so bitter," she said. "Every day I've hated the Russians for what they did to my mom and dad." Then she told me a priceless story. She said about a year ago, that would have been about 1996, some people came from America. They were missionaries, she said. They taught me about Jesus Christ. They said that I could trust him and he would change my life. You know, he did change my life, and my son's too. Many people in our city are coming to know about this Jesus. And from that, you know, I don't hate them so much now, she said, and I want to tell everybody about Jesus. Now, there is no electricity or running water on those little farms. I knew that somewhere in that late afternoon, there was an 11-year-old boy who was reading his Bible by the light of a candle. He told me that he liked to dig in the earth. It was fun planting the seeds and carrying pitchers of water from the well to pour on them to make them grow, he said. We sing when we work. We sing the songs that the missionaries taught us. "Well, would you teach me the words?" I asked him. "Oh, yes, of course," he said. "The words are, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew within me a right spirit." Amen.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart.
Yes, John Wolfe, that little boy that you met in Russia had found a transformed life. Christ had transformed him. And American young people and adults too, all around the world, really, not just Americans, need the transforming power of Jesus Christ in their lives. Jesus changes our values and our behaviors. With him as Lord of our lives, it is no longer serving self first, but the joy of the Spirit of God reigning within us. Yes, Jesus transforms human lives. John Wolfe, I know you've got another message. Share your word with us now.
Thank you very much. You know, in my devotion this morning, I was reading in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts. Part of the lesson was about how intensely that small church was praying for the Apostle Peter. Peter then was in prison about to be beheaded. As it worked out, an angel came to Peter and he was miraculously freed. But you know, what stuck out in my mind was the power of the prayer of those people in that small church. They prayed for Peter and their church and their families, and you know, the church grew in spite of all the pressure they were under from King Herod. Now, I don't know about you, but in these days of viruses and politics and jobs and schools and so much more, I feel so helpless often to know how to feel or how to react. My dear friend Kendall spent a month in a monastery in Conyers, Georgia. While Kendall was there, he said there was complete silence, no talking to anyone, but they did have prayer 5 times a day. He said after a few days he ran out of things to pray about, but it was then he learned the art of listening, just sitting quietly expecting to hear from God. He said it changed his life. Maybe just adding some listening time to our prayers, even 5 extra minutes, would help us all. You know what? It has really helped me a lot. It's changed me. Our website is MethodistHourInternational.com. Facebook, it's Methodist Hour International. Or call or text me at 678-488-2162. 678-488-2162. His grace and peace flood all over you. Amen.
And let us urge you to attend your neighborhood United Methodist Church or the church of your choice, where you will be offered Christ and meaning and joy for your life. And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.